Vengeance, chapter 3, starting with verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Again, if you're new and visiting us today, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We really pray, as we announced already, that you would kind of be plugged into a small group this fall so that you can grow with people. We have a few families, I know, in the back. I know this is last weekend with your kids. And so as you send off your kids to school, we want to bless you, and we'll pray for strength and joy and peace. And I know some college students are coming back. So if you're here, college student, welcome. Welcome back. We're glad you're here with us as well. All right, we're going to look at this prayer. The passage that was read to us today is a prayer from Paul to the church in Ephesus. And I was thinking about, as I was sitting here, I don't know if any of you received prayer that kind of stuck with you. You know, maybe it was a pastor or a youth pastor as you were growing up, or an elder, or your parents, your grandmother, grandfather, who just said a prayer at certain time in your life that really impacted you, and it kind of stayed with you. It was almost sort of prophetic prayer. You know, she prayed for, your future, and somehow it resonated with your heart. You know, I have few prayers like that in my life that when people prayed for me, I go, wow, you know, that really struck a chord in my soul. And I feel like that's something from God, something from the Lord. Well, the prayer here that Paul prays is an important prayer. We kind of know that because how he starts out his prayer in verse 14. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. For this reason, what is he talking about? He's talking about all that he's spoken about in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And if you're here with us last Sunday, we talked about how in the beginning of this book, Paul basically says, if you are in Christ, you have been immensely blessed with every spiritual blessing. We talked about that last Sunday. We talked about four implications of that. What that means. What that means to be blessed in Christ. That God blesses us in Christ. God loves us in Christ. And one of the things that we talked about was that means that God loves us. God loves me today, right now, as he loves his own son. The love of the Father that he has for the Son is the same love that I have in Christ. And we talked about that and talked about what that means last Sunday. And so Paul is saying, for that reason, so chapters 1, 2, and 3, he's really unpacking and explaining what that looks like. And so Paul is saying, for that reason, I bow my knees. Now that phrase, I bow my knees, it sounds normal to us, but back in Paul's culture, people prayed standing up. You know, they like we how we worship. Jews usually prayed standing up. And so when Paul here says, I bow my knees and make this prayer, what he's saying is, this is an utmost important thing that's in my heart. This is essential. What I'm going to be praying for you is crucial. And so Paul begins to pray this prayer. And in the original language, and I think in English too, although English I think is broken down into two sentences, this is one long, lengthy sentence in Greek. And so it feels a bit convoluted, and it feels it's a bit hard to really grasp, I think, what Paul is praying for. And so I'm going to give us three questions this morning to kind of help us unpack this prayer. Okay, so question number one, what is Paul praying for? Number two, why does he pray this? Number three, how do we live out this prayer? Okay, so what is Paul praying for here? So verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. And according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's one petition. So there are two central petitions. That's first one. And the second one is that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. So that's his second petition. So just breaking down that little bit. So first petition, Paul says that we might be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, right? And then the parallel clause, there's two clauses in first petition. And what does that look like? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So Paul is actually praying, this whole prayer actually has, it's really one central prayer, but he's coming at it at different angles. So first petition is, Paul prays, I pray that you will be strengthened in your inner being through the Spirit of God. What does that look like? It means for Christ to dwell in your hearts. It's really actually the same thing, but it's the same corner, two different sides. That you may be strengthened in your inner being through the power of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, that Christ may dwell in your heart. What does that look like further? It means that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. So that's what Paul's praying. Paul's basically praying what we talked about last Sunday, that the love of God has for you in Christ might become reality. That's what Paul is praying. Paul's praying, I've just spoken to you about God's love for you, how much you've been blessed. And what he's saying is, now I want this reality to become, or this theoretical proposition to become reality in your life. I want this to shape you, and I want this to be at the center of your heart. And that's what Paul is praying. And what's interesting about this prayer, again, it's he's praying for Christians, right? He's praying that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Now, why does Paul pray something that we already have? Because in the beginning of the letter, he already talked about how Christ dwells in Christians' lives. And then he's praying that this would become reality. I think the clue here is, and I think it sort of unpacks this whole prayer, is in verse 19. He says that, again, he's talking about the love of God for you. And he says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So what he's saying is, he's praying that the love of Christ might become more than knowledge. Right? He says that you would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now, how do you know something that surpasses knowledge? Well, you know it through experience, right? So, an example, since Curtis shared, I'll sort of pick on him. Before he left 2 years ago, our missions pastor back then gave him stacks of books. And so we actually met yesterday, and he talked about how much reading he had to do for missions. And so, you know, our missions pastor gave him stacks of books for, I think he read for about half a year. I gave him documents, and he actually took a course called Perspective. It's pretty intense classes for, I think, several months. A lot of reading. He also spoke with different missionaries, talking about what he could expect. He connected with our missions team in Spain. So he, in some ways, was well prepared. Like, he knew about Spain. He knew the work that they were doing. But once he got there, I mean, it was totally different thing. He actually was there now, having to live out what he learned. And I think this is what Paul is talking about. In some sense, we can know the love of Christ for us. We can read the Bible, or we have a verse that we know. But it's something else, Paul here says, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That we actually experience the love of Christ. That we actually feel and understand in our hearts the love of Christ. It's kind of, I don't know if this works, but, you know, I think I shared this already, but I have a big snowblower in my garage. I got that because two summers ago, we had a storm in D.C. that that just kind of knocked my family out. We have a long driveway, and so when that came, when that snowstorm hit us, it must have been, I want to say, 30-some inches of snow. And so we got out of our driveway, and our driveway looked so long and far and wide. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And my parents, they are they're older, but they got out, and they started shoveling. You know, so I went out, and I really thought in the middle of our shoveling the driveway, I thought my parents and me and my kids, we're going to pass out. I mean, I was really fearful that we're going to be stuck until a neighbor came, and he had his snowblower, and man, he cleared the driveway for us within like maybe a few hours, right? And so when I saw that, I was like, man, that's what I need. And so I did some research, and I think I went overboard because I bought this one that's like really big. It's nice. It's powerful. And I did research, and it's able to handle pretty much anything, you know. And so I'm really confident. And this past winter we had two storms that was like maybe a few inches tall. I mean, it was, you know, but it worked well. Now imagine if this coming winter we get the storm. And I'm like, man, this is it. It's my chance. I'm going to use my snowblower. And I go out, and I'm about to, you know, use it. And let's say it doesn't have any gas. It's like, it's not there. I think what Paul is kind of getting at is we have this resource, this love of God, this fullness of God that God wants to fill us with, but yet somehow we're missing the mark. We haven't experienced the love of God. We don't know it like Paul desires for us to know the love of God. And so that's what Paul is praying. Paul is praying that God's love for us will become more than knowledge. Now think about just how many of us, when was the last time you just sat there and just felt the love of God for you? Not because you accomplished something good or because did something well, but you just sense God's love for you. Maybe it's when you had your Bible open, you're reading it, and you felt God's love. Or maybe it was you're taking a walk, you know, and you felt God's love for you. When was the last time you just felt the love of God in your life? That you knew that God loved you. And that's what Paul is praying for. Paul is praying that we as Christians would know this love that surpasses knowledge. Know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now why does pray this? Why is this important? So let me read this the prayer one more time. It says, verse 16. We'll start with verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. When you kind of read it carefully here, Paul is praying for strength, right? And so on the one hand, Paul says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts. On the other hand, he says, what that looks like is having inner strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. So why does Paul pray that we would experience the love of God in Christ? Well, it's because it's through that love, experiencing and knowing and having that love for us in Christ, that we had this inner strength. That's what Paul is saying. That to know the love of God for us in Christ, to be filled with the fullness of God, means that we have strength. There's this inner strength. When you have that inner strength, you can face anything and not be crushed, because you are filled with the love of God for you. I mean, here, the Christians in Ephesus faced many things, right? They faced persecution like most of the early Christians, and they faced poverty and sickness. But Paul doesn't address those things. I mean, is he concerned about those things? Absolutely. But what he focuses on and what he prays for is that Christians should or would experience the love of God for them. That's his prayer. That's his earnest prayer. Because when we recognize and know and experience that love for us, you can face anything. This past summer, I was able to take my kids to this youth conference, and so it was with the kids there, and some of the parents sort of stayed, and so we sat in the back, and all the kids kind of sat in the front. They were worshiping, at least during the worship time. Worshiping, was sitting in the back, and there was a lady that sat in front of me, and she was with her son, who was about 15 years old, and I think he was autistic, and so she was kind of caring for him and worshiping at the same time. But what I found later was that she actually had lost her older son only about 2 weeks before the conference. He was in college, and he got into some sort of accident, and he passed away. And so when I found that, you know, that's what happened, and here she is, right? She's like worshiping the Lord with her other son, just really genuinely worshiping. Now, how do you do that? How do you face something like that? And I didn't speak to her about it, or I didn't ask her questions, but my hunch is that she knew and experienced the love of God for her in Christ, that there was this inner strength that she had. That's what Paul is praying. Paul is praying for something that's from God that will drastically change and alter your heart and your life. Most of us try to live our Christian life. You know, we know what to do, the things that we need to do, right? We need to try to love people and be kind and serve and, you know, pray and maybe even read the Bible. We know what to do, but oftentimes it's done only out of kind of external obligation that we want to obey, which is good, and we need that. At times, we need to just simply obey, and so that's a good thing. But oftentimes, it's done with a hollowed heart. There's nothing inside. It's this snow blower that I want to use, but there's nothing inside. There's no power. What Paul is talking about here is he's praying that God's love for you will be so real that there would be this inner strength in your soul, so that when you live the Christian life, that is effective and it's fruitful. So Paul is praying. So it's the same thing, to have Christ dwell in our hearts. It's the same thing as us being filled with the Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that there is this inner strength. And, you know, another way to look at it is, you know, when Paul finishes this grand prayer, he starts in chapter 4 talking about just practical Christian living. Right? So if you have your Bibles, let me just read verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, so after this prayer, right, he's talking about how he desires the Christians in Ephesus to be filled with the fullness of God. And then he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been received, which you have received. So he's saying, after this grand prayer, he says, I now want you to walk in a manner that is worthy of his calling for your life. And rest of chapter 4, 5, and 6 is just really Paul talking about how that looks like. What does walking with God look like? And walking is one of the more common metaphors in the Bible describing our life with God, just walking, right? And so it's just one step after another every day. You're kind of doing it. And it feels at times mundane and even trite after this grand prayer. But that's what Paul is saying. I want you to now, out of this, right? Out of your experience of God's love for you, I want you to walk in a manner that's worthy of his calling. What's that calling? Well, Paul begins to talk about it's unity of the body. You do all that you can to keep the unity of the Spirit in the body. You serve the church. You live wisely. You love your spouse. You love your kids. You honor your parents. You fight the spiritual battle. I mean, it's basically everyday stuff, right? And that's what Paul here said. Walking with God looks like this, but you have to know the love of God to do that, or to be that. Again, oftentimes we're just trying to do it on our own strength, apart from knowing the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Another way to put it is, imagine if you have, if you just suddenly come across an inheritance from your rich uncle, okay, and you know he gives you millions of dollars, and it's in your bank, and you get that receipt every week. Wow, I'm rich. That's great. I'm rich. Every Sunday you celebrate. Wow, this is great. I'm rich. It's like coming to church. God loves you. Oh, that is great. Praise the Lord. Every week, weekly, you get this receipt. You're rich. There is $50 million in your account. Wow, this is awesome. Now imagine you go out, and without drawing that, you just try to survive. You're still trying to pay your rent, and you come short, or you're trying to buy groceries, and you're struggling as a poor young adult living in D.C. I mean, you're struggling, right? That doesn't make sense, right? I mean, you have so much resources for you. You have so much money in the bank, but you only think about it and look at it, and you become happy because of it only for a day. That's what that's how we live our Christian life. We go, man, God loves me. This is great. We pray, praise the Lord. But we don't draw from the strength that we can get from knowing the love of God that surpasses knowledge. That's what Christ have. That's what God has for us in Christ. The question is, how do we tap into this love of God? Because, again, this is Paul's earnest prayer. He's saying, you need to know this. This is my prayer for you, that you know this love that surpasses knowledge. Question three is, how do we begin to experience this? I'm going to give you four things quickly. So if you have your, again, Bibles, I'll start again from verse 16, sort of the heart of his prayer. He says that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. We'll pause there. How do we tap into this love of God for us? How do we experience this? Well, Paul here says explicitly it's through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Some of us need to be open to the Spirit of God. Maybe it's our upbringing, or maybe you had a negative experience growing up. But if you take out the work of the Holy Spirit from this prayer and this passage, then you're just left with just knowing. Knowledge. But what Paul is praying is, Paul is praying that through the Spirit, that you would be strengthened in your inner being. The Holy Spirit is working powerfully in your life. And one of the things that he does is he strengthens us. He reminds us of God's love for us in Christ. That's what he does. And so, how does that look practically? I think one of the things that we practically can do is we pray and we long for the presence of God in our life. And this is at times can be hard because we live in a fast-paced world, right? We want to kind of get things done, and we have a lot of things that we need to accomplish. But prayer, solitude, stuff like that is like you got to slow down, sit down, kneel down, stand up, pause, and you pray, seeking the presence of God in your life. Friends, this is what you need. This is what you need more than your job to work out, a career. You know, you're worried about your career. You're worried about your relationships. You're worried about maybe even your physical health. More than all of those things, what Paul prays for is this. And this is what we need. We need to be strengthened in our inner being through the Spirit, through His Spirit. Because when we have that, we can face anything and we won't be crushed by our circumstances. You know, some of us might be anxious because maybe at your workplace, you know, you have someone that's, man, critical, you know, always sort of saying negative things about you. And there's fear of man. you're shaken inside. What you need is you need the love of God to be poured out in your life, in your heart, through the Spirit. Because if you have that, there's inner strength. You can face anything. You can walk with God. So it's one, first thing is we need to be open to the Holy Spirit and His work in us. That He does dwell in our hearts. He does strengthen us. So that's number one. And it's explicitly there. Paul says, I pray that you be strengthened through His Spirit in your inner being. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Dwell, that word dwell. So Paul is praying, what that looks like on the other hand is Christ dwelling in your heart. Now that word dwell, in Greek, it's a strong word. There are other Greek words that can be translated into dwell, but this is a significant word because it means like settling or is setting down something. And so what Paul is getting at, I think, is I pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you in your inner being. What that looks like is to have Christ set in your life, in your heart. They go together. I read somewhere that a lot of people these days are interested in spirituality. They like it when we talk about experiencing the love of God, and they like, there's a positive openness about experience, but very negative mindset about morality, that experiencing the love of God through the Spirit goes with Christ's lordship in your life. They go hand in hand, right? That's what Paul here says. On the one hand, I pray that the Spirit of God will dwell in your heart through the Spirit. On the other hand, I pray that Christ will dwell, Christ will set in your life, that He will be at the center of all that you do. They go hand in hand. You can't separate those two things. Spirit of God helping you to understand and experience the love of God, and Christ really becoming Lord over your life. They go together. And so the way to experience the love of God is to have Christ set in your life. That He becomes center. He becomes center. That you do things for Him. You love Him. And practically what that looks like is it looks like obedience. We obey Christ even when it's hard. As you do that, you experience the love of God for you. Again, one of the, you know, Curtis is not here. I think he left. Okay. So I'll pick on him again. And he's going to be gone, so he can't come back to me and say. One of the things that I appreciate about him is just his openness to Jesus' lordship. I mean, here's a guy who never went on missions. He came to GCCC and began to kind of learn about the Bible, and he was open to leading a small group. He led that few years, and he just felt like, you know what, this is something that I think God might want me to do, and he's open. He took a step of faith, and he was blessed because of that. Guys, if we want to experience the love of God for us more. It's done through the Spirit, but on our part, it's surrendering, submitting, it's living in obedience. They go hand in hand. You can't separate those two things. And that's what Paul is getting at. So that's number two. Number three, through power through the Spirit in your inner being, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. So he says, I pray that you have strength to comprehend what is breadth, length, height, and depth. The word comprehend, if you have the NIV, it says grasp. It has the meaning of struggling, sort of wrestling. So how do you struggle with the length and breadth, depth, breadth, height, and length of God's love for you? How does that look like? How do you struggle with that? There's a theologian named Charles Simeon. He passed away, but he was the founder of the evangelical movement in England, church in England. And this was his life verse. And they said that on his deathbed, he was reciting this right here, meditating on God's love for him in Christ. And I think that's it. Number three is meditation, meditating. I think ESV does a good job when it says comprehend. It's wrestling with, struggling with the truth of God's word. What that looks like is meditating. You take God's scripture and you wrestle internally with it until the Holy Spirit uses that to ignite fire in our souls. If you read church history, you know, a lot of these incredible, insightful theologians actually had these spiritual experiences where they talk about fire and talk about love of God being real in their life. These people who were brilliant, it was also coupled with their experience of Holy Spirit's fire in their soul as they meditated on God's word. And how does that happen? Because some of these people, when they wrote these incredible books, wasn't just writing academically. They were meditating on God's scripture. And as they were doing, as they were meditating, God, through His Spirit, allowed them to sense God's love for them. So number three, meditate on God's word. How do you want, if you want to experience the love of God, it often happens as we meditate on scripture. And the Holy Spirit comes, uses that, uses the word. And, you know, as a pastor who needs to prepare, like, sermons and such, gosh, it's so easy for me to just read without meditating. And there's a big difference. Are you meditating? You pause, you meditate. And it doesn't happen all the time, but at times God uses the words in these pages to come alive and becomes your spiritual soul. Right? It's igniting something that's deep within. That's what we need. That's how we experience the love of God for us. Meditation. Lastly, again it says, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Did you catch that phrase? With all the saints. What Paul is praying is, in order for you to experience this love of God for you, it's done with other people, other Christians, other saints. And when you actually begin to read chapter 4, he just jumps into talking about the church and how the Holy Spirit gave gifts to pastors and apostles and shepherds to equip God's people so that together we might attain maturity in Christ. So in some sense, there's a limit to our own personal experience of God's love. We can do that and we should do that. We should seek after that in our personal prayer life. But on the other hand, we can't do that on our own. There's a limitation because how God designed His body, He dwells in us, the church. He exists in community, so He invites us in. But He's inviting us in to be part of His family. And in that family, we experience the love of God. And we read Psalm 133, when brothers and sisters dwell in unity, it pleases God. And He pours out that much more blessing upon the body of Christ. So how do we begin to experience the love of God? We do it with other people. And that's good news, because that's good, because sometimes on your own, man, it's hard. It's hard to pray on your own. But when you get into a group of people that's kind of, you know, wanting to pray with you, that's, gosh, it helps so much. So friends, as we close, I guess one application would be just be open to being part of a small group. And we hope that through that community, that this coming year, that you can experience more of God's love. This is Paul's earnest prayer, because this is what's most significant for us. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And he prays that we would experience that. Not just know it in our minds, but know it in our life. So that we can begin to walk with God in living for Him and loving and serving other people. All right, let's pray as we close this time.